So when Jenny Lamette told her story about what Russell Simmons did, that might have been a surprise to some people, but that was not a surprise to many of us women in hip hop. There's a reason Joan Morgan in 1999 had to come up with a term within hip hop called hip hop feminism. Because by then, those of us as women engaging in hip hop had already been dealing with assault.
Rosa, we have
violence,
10 seconds.
Especially with men who would view us as critics and literally would get in our faces and threaten to hit us. And marginalized us within hip hop. So the industry, right, like Russell and some others that I won't name, all I'm saying is that this runs the gamut. This runs the gamut from 5 years old to 65 years old.
We're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank Rosa Clemente and Sarah Jayaraman. Both attended the Golden Globe ceremony last night in Hollywood. Happy birthday, Clara Barra. I'm Amy Goodman.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Hi, I'm Shaheed Hamid, KABU board member. As we embark upon a new year, the World Arts Foundation and KABU wants to continue to honor the life and legacy of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. On Monday, January the 15th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., the World Arts Foundation presents its 33rd consecutive tribute to this great American hero and advocate for peace, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Monday, January the 15th, at the Highland Christian Center, speakers, African drumming, and a variety of musical performances, also broadcast live here on KBOO Radio. A tribute to the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Where do we go from here? As people, as family, as community. Monday, January 15th at 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Highland Christian Center, 7600 Northeast Gleason. Keep alive the dream.
KBOO Portland.
You are listening to KBOO Community Radio Station. I am Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187 if you would like to participate in our morning conversation. And if you are listening, on 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. And this morning we are pleased to have a conversation that, following the Democracy Now!, will enable us to continue a conversation about political action and political engagement in our society. We want to speak specifically about what's happening on the local scene in the state of Oregon. And we are pleased to have this morning the chair of the Democratic Party of Oregon Black Caucus. Ms. Coquette will talk about the current state of black engagement in the political processes in Oregon and strengthen and expanding Black leadership in Oregon. She will also talk about a special event that is happening next week as this state and communities throughout the region celebrate the legacy and work of Martin Luther King. They will host a what is called a Black Leadership Roundtable and Dr. Martin Luther King celebration on later this week on January 12th at 6 p.m. at the Hollywood Senior Center. There'll be guest panelists, informative, bright people from across the state talking about their perspectives on where we are as a community, as a state, as we seek to make sense out of this new world that we are living in. Certainly has been a year since the new national administration took charge, and it's probably an appropriate time to examine where we are as a nation, but also as a state. Where are we as a state? Unlike the national scene, where the Republicans are in control, and on the state scene, the Democrats are in control of both legislative branch and the governor, and therefore has the ability to promote some legislation that I think will can counter some of the things we are seeing out of Washington this morning. And oops, I'm so pleased to have with us our guest this morning. And thank you for coming so early in the morning. Are you an early morning person?
I am, and thank you for having me. Do I have this mic in place yet?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, so thank you for joining us, and you have an event coming up, and that's this week, is it?
It is this Friday, January 12th at 6 o'clock p.m., and we really appreciate an opportunity to promote that event and to what we're doing is we are targeting specifically the Black community, because it's an opportunity for them to come out and meet people that they don't normally see, to meet legislators, community activists, and to have a chance to talk about what issues impact them in terms of leadership in Oregon.
Excellent. And so this is this Friday?
Yes, it is.
And it's at the Hollywood Senior Center?
Hollywood Senior Center at 6 o'clock p.m. sharp.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so there will be legislators and people engaged in the political processes. Will
yes.
there be a panel discussion?
Or? There will be a group of panelists, and I'd like to name them if that's okay.
Certainly, yeah.
We have invited and confirmed two of our state senators, Lou Frederick, James Manning. We have Representative Janelle Bynum. We've also invited Commissioner Loretta Smith. At the moment, she has a scheduling conflict, so we don't know if she'll be able to make it. We've invited the president of the NAACP, Joanne Hardesty. We have invited from the ecumenical community, Pastor Mondanay. We've invited a member of the Democratic National Committee member, Travis Nelson, who is really having some impact in our community. So there's a long list of folks. We've invited our cable program host, Bruce Broussard, and other candidates. And so we're hoping that folks who don't normally engage with them will have an opportunity to ask questions that they feel impact them in terms of leadership in Oregon.
Excellent. And again, this is 6 p.m. at the Hollywood Senior Center,
yes.
And all everyone's invited.
Everyone's invited. We want our, I want to be real clear, we would love to have our white allies there, but it's very important to us that we have Black folks there. which is why I so much appreciate having the opportunity to speak with you this morning. We do need black people there to talk about what they think and how they feel and what they believe impacts them in terms of leadership or the lack thereof, or how we grow it, how we strengthen it, and what it means to the future for black Oregonians.
And certainly it's not by accident that you schedule this event on a Martin Luther King weekend. It's important to bring together the legacy of Martin Luther King and what I believe you are doing in terms of political empowerment.
That is exactly what we're doing. We will begin this program. It will last close to 2 hours, maybe a little under that. But we will begin with a song in commemoration and also a recitation, because it's so important that we honor the life and the legacy and the tremendous contributions of such a great civil rights hero as Dr. King. And I know that there are many, many activities that will occur around the MLK holiday. But for us, when we speak about leadership in the community, it is critically important that we honor this hero.
And certainly what you're doing, it's not only honoring this national hero, but as you shared with us briefly, and I'm sure you'll go deeper in terms of what's happening in our state and the history of black people in our state and the history of black political engagement, which is very important to know about. How did you become interested or involved in the political processes?
I think in order to answer that question, I would have to go back to the time I was a freshman in college when someone asked me if I wanted to be the president of a Young Democrats club. And I said, sure, I can do it. And actually, I had no idea what it involved. But I said, sure, I can do it, because I was interested in, I had been on a summer drive with a group of people when I was a high school student registering voters, and we were in North Carolina. And I don't want to take a lot of time talking about it, but we were going to into homes and communities where people weren't voting and talking with folks and getting them involved in the political process. So for me, it began even as far back as high school. And by college, I think I was all in. Yeah.
You were convinced this was a calling.
Yes. And the tool or the route to use to effect social and economic change and to move toward justice and equality for all. I know that's a kind of a big statement, but really that is what I sought at that time and I'm still working toward, is social, economic, environmental justice for all. I think we cannot ever give up on that goal.
No, we can't. We're speaking this morning with Rosa Colquitt.
That's great.
Oh, okay.
Colquitt is great. Colquitt,
who's the chair of the Democratic Party of Oregon Black Caucus. They are sponsoring an event for the community this Friday at 6 p.m. at the Hollywood Senior Center. And all are invited. There'll be a Black Leadership Roundtable and an opportunity to engage in conversation with people who are engaged as elected officials and as concerned citizens.
Yes.
Everyone's included.
Yeah, as community activists. And we do extend an invitation to our allies. But again, we appreciate this opportunity to reach directly into our Black community, those most impacted by strengthening and expanding Black leadership in Oregon. So we're hoping that we can reach an audience of people who are most impacted by this dialogue or this engagement that we're having.
Yes, that's really very important. I want to talk more about engagement in terms of Black involvement in the political process. processes here in Oregon. Now, it's certainly different in terms of numbers and community size and than in other places. How did you become involved in state politics here? And then maybe talk about how you became involved as the chair of the Black Caucus.
Black Caucus. Yeah. Okay, you've given me a lot of questions there. Let me back up a little and see if I can, in talking about involvement, I think two of the things I wanted to stress is when we talk about the Black community engaging in the political process, I think two things we need to talk about history. We need to put it in a historical context. And when we do that, I also think that not just context is important, but I believe commendation is very important when we think of the Black community engaging in the political process. I am doing some research for a book that I'm writing, and one of the things I've been studying pretty heavily, I am overly involved possibly, and that is the history of Blacks in Oregon. And although for some it's a hidden history, I think that many are aware that there was Oregon was indeed a very anti-Black state. It had exclusionary laws and sundown laws as far back as, I believe, 1859. If you were Black, you had to you could not live in the state as a resident. You could not own property. You could not involve yourself in a contract. And so, as a result of that, of these exclusionary practices, the idea that Oregon was indeed the fact, rather not the idea, but the fact that Oregon was indeed founded in white supremacy, the whole notion of a white homeland has such deep roots in racism that it clearly does impact where we are presently. It clearly did create the whiteness of the state, which we are still living with. And because the state is so white, our percentages and our numbers are so low. Some of the people that I've engaged over the years, and I came here directly out of graduate school in 1987, and some of the folks I've engaged with say, well, what's the use? We don't have the numbers. We can't have impact. We can't have influence. We can't do this. We can't do that because we don't have the numbers. But not having the numbers is one part of it, but I think another very important part of it is that we have to work together. This forces us, or it should force us, to work together more as a community of people with a common interest. So I just wanted to say that by way of background. And for me, I've always been a volunteer in my local political party because I wanted to have an impact. I want to understand how we change systems and structures that we say are inequitable to our community of entrance. And for me, as an Oregonian, one of the best ways I can do that is to be actively involved. And so I've taken that approach and tried to bring along others with me. But in doing so, we can't really ever get away from that history because lots of people still are trying to understand the whiteness of the state. It's one of the whitest in the union. But I don't think the racism necessarily and the ideology and the practices and the structures are that much different from other states in the United States.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking this morning with Rosa Colquette, who is the chair of the Democratic Party of Oregon Black Caucus, and I'm sure she is willing to engage with conversation with you. So if you'd like to give us a call, our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Tell us about how it may seem overwhelming, I want to make a difference.
Yes.
What are ways of entries for someone to who's interested? Certainly to come to this event on Fridays, but
yes.
How can people begin to engage, particularly young people?
Yeah, I'll tackle that. Uh-huh. I think if you will allow me, I'd like to talk a little bit about what the Black Caucus, in fact, does, mm-hmm. and so that folks understand who we are. And to give them a reason to want to engage with us, particularly as you said, our younger people, which we obviously know that's going to be the future. But there, the Black Caucus represents the political entrance and views of Black Democrats throughout the state. It has a 5-point plank, but I just want to mention one or two that I think are very important, and that is that the specific mission of the Democratic Party of Oregon Black Caucus is providing support and resources for Black Democrats who are seeking not just elected office, but political appointments. Mm-hmm. And so we are a hub. We are a resource. We can be a resource if folks are engaging with us. Something else that the DPO Black Caucus does is partner. We try and partner with existing organizations to provide leadership training for Black Democrats of all ages, meaning that we certainly want our youth to be involved. Another thing that the Black Caucus does is serve as a forum to educate elected officials and the general public on issues impacting Blacks in the state of Oregon. So we indeed want folks to be engaged with us, other organizations as well, but we're a hub, we're a resource for folks who are interested in becoming involved.
Mm-hmm. So it's an opportunity for training.
Yes.
And skill building, as well as networking and all of that.
The networking, Cecil, I really appreciate you pointing that out. The networking is so very important, because no matter what we say our mission is and what our goals are, folks need to get comfortable with other folks. They need to engage with other folks to see really how we act and what we do, not just what's written down on a piece of paper that says this is our mission, but engaging with us to find out what kind of people we are.
Excellent. We have a couple of callers. If you put on your headphones, we'll go to our callers and see what they have to say.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, caller. Hello? Hello? We might have lost our caller for the moment. If you're not there, give us a call back at 503-231-8187. Okay, well, in the meantime, I wanted to... I lost my train of thought, but hopefully you did. You were talking about the opportunity for people to engage in the caucus. And is this a statewide caucus?
It is a statewide caucus. We are part of the Democratic Party of Oregon, but we serve as a resource for all 36 of the counties in the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, I did some brief research in terms of Black political officials, the history here in the state. And it wasn't until, I think, the 1970s when Bill McCoy was elected first as a representative, then as a state senator, and then others followed, people like Margaret Carter and Avell Gordley in Salem. But there's also been, I think it's important to note, that there are elected officers throughout the state, in counties and cities, that people should be involved in.
Absolutely. I was recently talking with Senator Frederick, and he was pointing out to me that there are in Multnomah County alone, and I know the number is also large in terms of Washington County, but there are local board, school board positions, commissioner positions. There's all kind of ways to get involved without running for necessarily a legislative or even a statewide position, because those are so few in number. But there are many ways to impact the community that you live in by service on an advisory board. I think one of the things that Senator Frederick was speaking to me was about a water resource board, and that one of the things that the Black Caucus is doing, is trying to definitively do, is to put this information out there so that people know that there are opportunities to engage and to serve on local boards. And local activity is extremely important.
Very important, yeah. Very much so. Okay, I think we have a caller back. Let's see if we can get the caller online. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this working?
Yes, it is. You are on the air. Great.
Hi, this is Camilo.
Hi, Camilo.
Hi. I want to reflect on a couple of things. I think that this idea of engagement is a two-edged sword, one where we want to see people in the Black community get more involved in activities that focus on racial issues. But as you pointed out, the numbers are low here in terms of developing a sense of power. But as you correctly are pointing out, that there are a lot of different organizations where we can exercise influence. I'm from New York, where I was active politically. I was a community leader there, and we had considerable strength. I've been out here for about 7 years, and I've been active in two different activities. One for healthcare reform with Healthcare for All Oregon. Now I'm active with 360 PDX, the environmental organization. Now, my experience in both of those organizations shows that there really is a problem in uniting, solidifying Black and white progressives to work on issues of common interest. And I think that the problem goes both ways. It goes in terms of these organizations really not showing enough involvement with the Black community, but also there really are not enough Blacks who participate in these types of organizations. And I think that if we do show up, we can exercise considerable influence. I was on the executive board at Healthcare for All Oregon and for Jobs with Justice. Now at 350 PDX, I'm an active team leader, and I'm working on a project called the Portland Just Energy Transition, which is going to have a significant impact if it gets passed in communities of color. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying and asking with people to reach out to the predominantly white progressive organizations, show up and exercise some engagement and work together. And we really have to try to establish a much greater solidarity between us.
Okay, good. Stay on the phone for a second. I want Rosa to respond.
Is it Camilo? Did you say your name is Camilo?
I did.
Yes. Thank you for your call. And you, as you pointed out at the top of your statement, it is a two-edged sword because it's very important that when members of our Black community are engaging, that there is an environment in which they can work and feel that their voice, in fact, is being heard. A lot of young people have said to me in the past, well, I attempted to participate, but I didn't feel that my voice was really being heard, that I was really being engaged, and what I was bringing to the table was valuable. So when we are engaging, we do have to be sure, we have to assure that everyone is valued and respected and are a valued participant, so that they don't feel that I'm coming to the table and what I have to offer is not something that you want. So we have to work very hard. All parties involved have to work very hard to make sure that we are creating a climate in which we can be productive and progressive.
I'd like to respond to that.
I mean, I
could point out that certainly at Jobs with Justice and certainly at 350 PDX, there is a concerted effort to deal with the issue of anti-racism and inclusion. And these organizations are virtually desperate to have understanding and appreciation and sensitivity to these issues. But, you know, the problem I find is that there really haven't been enough black people to express a voice who do get involved in these kinds of programs. And I think that they're really eager to have our involvement and to offer us a role to play. I think it happened to a certain degree at Jobs with Justice, where we're seeing much more minority involvement there.
So let me ask you and Rosa, since you all active in these organizations, I know from my experience that you can be pulled in so many directions.
Yes.
And if there's, you know, you're supposed to be the expert on everything and everyone wants you at every meeting. How do you make those choices and how do you balance all of those demands on your life and maintain some centeredness in your own life?
Very difficult. Indeed, it's very difficult.
I can respond to that, my personal experience, but you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
I have had to confront that. I mean, I actually burnt out while I was working on healthcare reform and had to just stop everything. And I decided that I'm going to work exclusively on environmental issues. And within environmental issues, I'm going to work exclusively on issues that impact the communities of color and disadvantaged communities. So I made a conscious decision to narrow my focus. And I think that's what we all have to do in these times where things are just so crazy. We have to figure out what it is that we love, what we're mainly concerned about, that we can contribute to, and go to it and do what we can. And, you know, of necessity, it has to be narrow and focused.
Yeah, I would certainly concur with that. But the other thing that we have to keep in mind is there is a smaller population of blacks or African Americans in Oregon, and people necessarily are, many of the young people that I engage with are students. They are committed to higher education, training, different types of skills program. They're maintaining families, and it makes it difficult when you are, in fact, balancing all of that. But I really go back to my other point that the sticking to the agenda and staying with a project or a program, it's very important that there is acceptance of that person, that their contribution is taken seriously, and their participation is valued. And again, that does seem to be a problem sometimes when blacks are engaged with whites in different types of diversity issues and activities. And we can't get away from that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're saying is indeed appreciated by the leadership in predominantly white organizations.
Yes.
And they're making an effort. And, you know, with regard to the point that you made about being a student, having family, I mean, I certainly have the privilege of being retired. My student days are long over.
Oh.
And I have the time.
Congrats.
And resources to dedicate to these sort of activities. But I think everybody's got to figure out what they can do and just put your shoulder to the wheel and where you may encounter resistance or microaggressions, speak up. I mean, you know, don't be afraid to say what's on your mind and offer your suggestions about addressing these kinds of issues.
Well, thank you so much, Camilo. I hope and encourage you to continue to do the work you to do and not only be an inspiration, but continue to mentor those who are following in your footsteps.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'd like to add my words of thanks and value and appreciation are very important. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for your efforts also. We're working together to make this situation better.
Yes.
Excellent. Bye-bye now. We're speaking with the chair of the DPO Black Caucus.
Yes.
Okay. Rosa Coquette, who is very active activist. And I also want to remind those of you who just tuning in now that there is a Black Leadership Roundtable and Martin Luther King Jr. celebration sponsored by this organization this Friday at 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Friday, January 12th. And we are doing everything we possibly can, using every communication tool available to us and trying to create even more. But the Black Caucus does want to engage with the community. This is our kickoff activity for just to begin the year of 2018. And we can learn a lot. This is going to be an interactive learning activity. We hope to educate our elected officials about some of what the community is thinking and feeling and desiring. And we hope that it's going to be a learning activity for all of our members and our activists and especially some of our political candidates who will be there as a part of the panel to hear what the community thinks about their expectations of them, actually. So the Black Caucus would like to do everything that it can to create this engagement and involvement, and we can grow with it. We can get stronger with it, but we do need the participation. And it will just be great to see everybody. Black folks have a good time when they can get together, don't you think?
I believe so.
I think they do.
And we'll go to our next caller. Susan, good morning.
Oh, hi. This is Susan. I appreciate the work you're doing. And my comment, I appreciated the last caller, Camilo. And my comment about the white organizations doing political social justice work in Oregon is I would ask those organizations and members of those organizations to not only prioritize working with people of color, but to look at how organizationally they have sought out education, whether it's a consultant or attending equity and diversity trainings, to really take on that work seriously. And that's about my only comment. Thanks.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Well, tell us in terms of the Democratic Party, you know, you could think of it this big organization. How has the, you've seen the Democratic Party in Oregon change or begin to address issues of Black people in particular?
Well, candidly, some of them don't think that we are addressing their issues and their concerns and their needs. And, so that's one of the critical pieces of what the that is such an excellent question. One of the reasons we decided to do this open forum with this panel is to do exactly that, bring in the youth to talk with us and for them to understand that we do want this engagement and we do want to work with them, that they will be respected and their voices will be heard. But the biggest thing is getting folks to the table, getting folks to the platform.
So the biggest is getting folks to the platform
and hearing from them. And it's our responsibility once they're there, it's the responsibility of the Black Caucus of the Democratic Party of Oregon to do the follow-through, the necessary follow-through and the support to have folks involved, because that's the only way we're going to effect change.
It is. And it requires steady work.
Absolutely.
And it isn't, I can't imagine it's like, okay, we did this program, we'll move on to the next thing. It's being consistent and allowing people to know that you are there, that we are there for them.
Right. And something else I'd like to add that the Black Caucus is doing, I think networking is a really, really big piece of the social activities. Not only on our agenda for 2018 are we having folks become involved in programs like the panel, but we're scheduling social activities so folks get to know each other, get comfortable enough to say, these are some issues that I really want to know about and that I want to work with you. A lot of times folks say, I need to know who you are before I really want to be involved with you.
Right.
We're going to a concert on January 22nd, and we're inviting folks to join us for that. We're having a big conference on March 9th. We're hoping to bring in a speaker from the Congressional Black Caucus to talk with us about leadership in Oregon, how we build it, expand it, and maintain it. Cecil, you said a moment ago, you spoke a moment ago about how this work has to be continual. We can't go at it in a one-shot activity, but the work has to be continual and it has to be steadfast to see any measurable progress or any change that's measurable. So, yes, we do need people involved. I think involvement is critical. We've got to get that going, and then we can move from there.
How might people get in touch with the caucus? Is there a website or a phone number?
We have a website. It's dpo.org/communities of entrance, and you click Black Caucus, and at the forum of the Leadership Roundtable on January 12th, we'll have more information, written information, than possibly what uh-huh. you'd like to have. They can get to us by Facebook, by email. We have numbers for individuals, and there is a number for the Democratic Party of Oregon who will in turn get in touch with members of the caucus. Yes. But there are many ways to engage us, and we're truly seeking that in the Black community, because without the Black community, there's really not much of anything that we're going to be doing.
Right. We're speaking with Rosa Colquette, Chair of the Democratic Party of Oregon Black Caucus, and we would appreciate your thoughts. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and give us a call, and we'll engage in deep, meaningful conversation with you. I want to remind us that coming up here on KBOO at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour. Burrow down to the roots of the great issues of our times. Okay. At 10 on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein talks the Sightline Institute, Eric DePlace, to look back at what transpired in the past year under a Trump regime. At 11, Health Watch talks to the authors of What's Making Our Children Sick, how industrial food is causing an epidemic of chronic illness, and what parents can do about it. At 11:30 on Radio Zine, the program will highlight the case of Fahed Tamimi, the 16-year-old girl who has been filming the brutality of the Israeli soldiers in her village since she was 10, and now finds herself imprisoned in a military interrogation center. KBOO keeps you informed, and so you can get involved. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. Right now, we're speaking with Rosa Colquette. I'm Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio. You mentioned that at the forum on Friday that there'll be a number of elected officials.
Yes.
And candidates, and, you know, elections are coming up, you know, in spring and in the fall, and I'm sure people want to know more about it, you know, who's running and what they can do, and there'll be opportunity to engage in conversations.
There will absolutely be lots of oral information as well as written information. If folks decide they want to come out, and we certainly do want them to. The biggest thing is getting people out and having them understand that their voice is taken seriously, that our community members are respected and valued, and that we want to learn from community members. One of the things I wanted to emphasize now that I have, with the opportunity to do so, I've gotten the question a couple of times by email, and I did get one phone call on Sunday. And the question was specifically this: what is the goal of this panel that you're sponsoring on Friday? Mm-hmm. So I do want to take this opportunity to emphasize that the goal of the panel and the MLK celebration is to do exactly what the Black Caucus is commissioned to do, and that we serve as a forum to educate our elected officials. If we don't talk to them, they're not going to hear what it is we're thinking. To educate our elected officials and the general public on matters affecting Blacks in the state of Oregon. Mm-hmm. And one of those critical issues is, how do we grow and strengthen Black leadership in Oregon? Because many feel that we don't have the capacity to effect the change that we really would like to see. And one of the ways that we can do it is not through just elected leadership, but through community leadership. But we definitely need the support and the ear of the elected officials. And so this activity on Friday, January 12th, the goal of that is to provide the forum to make sure that we understand how to get that done. I really appreciate that you've asked me that question several times. How do folks get involved? And not just how do they get involved, but why do they get involved? And how do we sustain their involvement in this learning and change process?
Yes.
So do hope to see lots of Black people, especially our Black youth, at the Senior Center on Friday.
Excellent. The Hollywood Senior Center, and that address is,
Let me look at my sheet again.
But in the meantime, we have a couple of callers, so let's go to Tim, and we'll give you that address in a moment. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, as a former organizer, I absolutely agree. I don't remember her name, but the woman who's been speaking about the conference and the need to develop Black leadership, I would say that any people who have been oppressed, it's absolutely essential that they develop leadership within their own ranks so that they are in control of the change and they can set their agenda. It's, you know, I guess I'm white, and I may have good motivations. I may strongly believe against racism and oppression, but as a white person, I can't live the experience of being Black in America, or Native American, or any other group, only my own life. So I want to know, how can people like me, who believe in progressive change and want to eliminate racism and sexism and oppression, how can we work in conjunction with African American groups? Not to dominate them, become in control of them, but in conjunction with them to support them.
Okay. Yeah, great question. One of the first things you can do is to listen to what people have to say. And you need to listen to what they have to say, and to be willing to have an honest and a genuine conversation about racism, because racism gets in the way of all of what it is we're actually trying to achieve. But listening and respecting, and you brought up the point yourself, not taking over when people feel like they're in organizations where other people are taking over. Being willing to listen and to respect and to learn, and not to expect one person in any specific or given ethnic or cultural group to be able to speak for all people in that group. But listen and learn and respect people where they are, and just be willing to put yourself out there. One person said to me once, putting your body on the line, and what that really can mean at times is one's physical body, but really what it means, it's a matter of respect and listening to people and hearing them and honoring where they are and being willing to genuinely learn from them and not think that you necessarily have all the answers that ethnic communities may need. Being supportive.
I agree with that. But what can I do? I know the listening, talking is extremely important. I understand that. But what can I do more than that? What can I, how can, I don't know.
Well, maybe that might be the beginning, and as we listen and form meaningful relationships, something develops out of that. Certainly, that's not the end, but
just
it may be beginning, and your next steps will develop from there.
Well,
is that helpful at all?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think a lot of times with organizations that are predominantly white, inevitably there is this feeling. I know I've experienced it myself. This feeling that we're engaged in an activity, and white folks sometimes take it over. They come in and take it over rather than engage with folks so that there is a mutual leadership and mutual learning and mutual respect. And I hope that's not too hard of a concept, but really listening to folks who have the lived experience. Because you said it yourself, I can't walk in your shoes. I haven't lived as a Black American, a Native American, a Latino. And so it's very important. And respect is a huge, huge issue. I've been in these workshops where people talk about exactly what does that mean when you say you respect another person and you respect that person's culture. And so you got to be willing to put yourself out there to learn and to understand and to value and to respect, and not to be involved in a way that others feel like there's a takeover.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for your open heart and
yes.
for your ability to ask the hard questions. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You guys have a great day and good life, and keep yourself safe.
You too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And let's go to our next caller. Linda, good morning.
Good morning, and good morning, Rosa. It was very good to hear your presentation this morning, and I am going to be attending on Friday as a white person prepared to listen.
Thank
I've
you.
Been to a few of the DPO caucus, Black caucus presentations in the past, and I just encourage a lot of people to attend. But I see an opportunity out there as we are living in this crazy times of our nation. I go back to the Occupy movement and the 99%ers thinking, okay, so we have a low population of Black people in the Portland area, but we need everybody. We need every Black person. We have to figure out a way to make them know that their time is valuable and we need to hear from them so we can finally heal and heal this country of 400 years of history and do this thing right in this time. And I see such an opportunity, and I want to participate in that and be a part of it. So thank you, Rosa, for your encouragement and your laying out what to expect in the forum. And see you on Friday, everyone.
Yeah, thank you very much, Linda. I wanted to add something to the last caller in wanting to know what he can do. I think that a lot of what white folks can do is to step up, and when you see racism, step up and step in to stop it and to say this isn't the right thing to do. There's always a way to help, because a lot of times white folks can see the racism being played out, can see it behind the scenes, can hear things that people in community of colors cannot necessarily hear. So it's always important to interrupt racism when you can. That's something very important that I wanted to add. When white people say, well, what can I do? You can be an anti-activist against racism. And I think that is really, really critical, in addition to giving support and respecting where communities of color are and the direction that they want to move in.
Thank you so much. And the information about this event that is on January 12th, this Friday, the Black Leadership Leadership Roundtable.
Yes.
Okay. It's Roundtable just once. and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebrations at 6 p.m. at the Hollywood Senior Center, and that address is 1820 Northeast 40th Avenue. That's at the Hollywood Senior Center at 1820 Northeast 40th Avenue. And one thing that you said that really impressed me was that it's an opportunity for us not to only hear from like elected leaders,
yes,
but for them to hear
from us. Yes,
it's a dialogue, and it's a mutuality that we learn. And one of the definition of public servant is servant, and you have to be available for the public to serve the public.
Right, and it's an opportunity for mutual respect, not just feeling that we need to be there respecting our elected officials. Of course we do, but at the same time they need to respect where the community is and to hear the community. And all of the officials that will be there, I know that they profoundly engage in that practice in their roles as elected officials. So we have good people to work with and good people to dialogue with. We just need to get the community members, our black community members there, and we will be most appreciative to have allies there like Linda.
Excellent. Well, let's go to our next caller. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that black people don't seem to be in the national discussion nowadays. The national discussion now is on illegal immigrants. They're in the national discussion. So pretty much all the efforts of the leaders and even black people are geared towards illegal immigration. Black people I think black people they're not concentrating on things like reparations, gentrification, all the things that we don't even have a black community. I mean, I keep hearing this lady talk about the black community. The black community is almost gone, and that's through gentrification. And so until black people concentrate on black people, they're not going to never eradicate racism.
Excellent.
You know?
Thank you, Mike. Let's have Rosa respond to you.
Yeah, I appreciate your perspective. That's the first thing I need to say to you, is that indeed I appreciate your perspective. And I think it's one of the reasons that we do need to talk about leadership is exactly what you have said, and that is to engage into dialogue about the fact that we do have differences in our community, even at times, and not that you've said this, but even at times, whether it's intentional or unintentional, we have adversarial relationships within the black community. But we can't get to the core of that without working together. I disagree that we don't have a black community. We have a community of people who have common issues and commonalities and a set of shared values and goals. We do have that, but I hear the concern and the frustration that you're voicing, but we can't work through that issue without engaging and without dialogue with our leaders and with our activists and with you. I'd like for you to be at the forum on January 12th. Do you think you can make that happen so that more folks who aren't hearing you this morning can hear at that event what your concerns are?
I think he left us.
Did we lose him?
We did, but okay. Well, thank you, Michael, and certainly, as Rosa said, we all are welcome, and we need to hear all of those voices.
Yes.
Thank you, Rosa, for joining us this morning. Thank you for your work with the Democratic Party of Oregon Black Caucus Chair, and your event is this Friday,
January 12 at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Hollywood Senior Center. And I know we're running out of seconds, but I just have to express to you again how grateful on behalf of the caucus we are that you would give us this platform to reach out into our Black community. We are so very grateful.
Well, thank you so much, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to More Talk Radio. Stay tuned for the All More Variety Hour. Until next time, this is Cecil Prescott.
Hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film This Changes Everything on Thursday, January 11th at 7 p.m. Filmed over 211 shoot days in 9 countries and 5 continents over 4 years, This Changes Everything is an attempt to reimagine the vast challenge of climate change. The film is narrated by Naomi Klein and presents 7 portraits of communities on the front lines, from Montana to South India to Beijing and beyond. Again, that's a film screening of This Changes Everything, Thursday, January 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Stop the Pipeline rally on Thursday, January 11th at the Oregon State Capitol in Salem. The No LNG Exports Coalition hosts this day action at the Oregon State Capitol building to ask Governor Brown to deny the Pacific